Hey, you. Thanks for tapping into Untapped Keg podcast, where we look at different perspectives of sobriety and mental health so that you can take something and implement it into your own life. Here, we believe there's only one right way to sobriety, and that's the way that works for you. I'm your host, RJ Zimmerman, and today I get to talk to someone who has left alcohol behind, former Google executive and CEO of New Brew, Justin Wolf. How are you doing today, Justin?
I'm great. Thank you, RJ. I appreciate you having me on here. Excited to have this conversation and had an awesome first conversation with you a few weeks ago. So ready to continue it.
Yeah, me too. We had that conversation. It just flowed. So today's going to be a lot of fun. But for people who don't know a little bit, can you give us a little bit of background on what brings you to where you are right now?
Yeah, man. Well, a whole lifetime, 34 years. I turned 34 this coming week.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I appreciate it, man. I've been reflecting a lot lately. I mean, who am I? I'm a 34, almost 34-year-old guy. I grew up in the Bay Area, now in Los Angeles. You know, I spent a lot of my career in the tech world and had a whole transformation in my personal life sort of in the background as I was building my career in tech. And, you know, a lot of that is related to alcohol, and I will get into all of that. And through that transformation, I decided to pivot and kind of dedicate my life to helping others make a similar transition and move away from alcohol. So that's, and just in the past year, really sent me on a whole different path. And right now I'm a person who feels really aligned with a purpose, which is not something I could have said a couple of years ago. I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's a beautiful thing, man. I also started the company that I'm working with my brothers. So I'm working with my family, and yeah, I feel, tired and busy, but also just full of life, and excited to share what we have going on with the world.
It's amazing when you get that purpose that is becoming your life, right? And then, yeah, you're tired and there are exhausting aspects of it. However, you feel so fulfilled going throughout the day, right? And it's a different feeling.
Yes, it's a different type of tired. It's a different type of busy. As you said in your intro for me, you know, I've worked at Google for a long time, and I was definitely engaged with my work and incredibly busy, maybe overworked at times. But if there wasn't that sense of fulfillment, I didn't feel like I didn't really know what I was working for other than like a large corporation. You know, I was sort of a cog in a machine. That feeling of being tired, like really sunk in a different way. Whereas now, like I'm working even harder, I'm working for myself, and I'm happy to be tired. I know exactly why I'm tired and why I'm doing it. And I'm ready to like do it again the next day. So yeah, it's been an incredible experience, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you're able to find that and really enjoy it. So, you know, before we get going too much further, you talked about your purpose of helping other people make that transition from alcohol. So do you want to talk a little bit about New Brew and exactly what that is?
Yeah, definitely. New Brew is an alternative to alcohol. It's a beverage company. I'll flash the can right here. It's what we call a euphoric seltzer. So this is really the first like 21 and up adults only non-alcoholic beverage to ever hit the market. And it's 21 and up because it has real effects. We use a couple of plant-based ingredients that drive a true set of like very tangible effects. It lifts your mood. It endures a little bit of like energy and focus. And it also is stress relieving. So it has like a whole symphony of effects, but at the same time, it's not inebriating in any way. You don't feel impaired. You're not intoxicated. It's a strange sort of new feeling for people, but it does something to kind of replace the effects of alcohol that I was kind of after for all of those years. Right. And to me, it's a really powerful tool in helping me not want to go back to alcohol. And I don't, I think that in the, you know, the year after I quit drinking, there was sort of a little bit of an allure to alcohol that lingered, right? Like there were times where I felt like it would be really good to have a beer right now, whatever. And since we started New Brew and I've had this like tool available to me, I just I have no yearning for it anymore. This is better, right? Like, this is a tool that I can use without compromising my judgment, without really harming my body, and, you know, poisoning myself. So, yeah, it's, you know, I'll get into sort of the nuances of it. New Brew is not like something for everyone who's on a recovery journey by any means, because it does have a psychoactive property, which can be triggering for someone who's, you know, in pursuit of total abstinence. But for people like me who really had an issue with alcohol, but still like are cool with shifting their consciousness a little bit, it's an amazing thing to have available.
And with the, you know, that having those things that are available, why don't we talk about like the euphoric nature and how it's psychoactive, but how is that different from, you know, supplements that tell you that they would be, you know, give you kind of the same thing? Like, I've had, you know, different teas that tell you, you know, they're going to bring this sense of calming and stuff like that. So how is the euphoric seltzer any different from that? And there's no warnings on those.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when I quit drinking, there was a period of time where I was like in an intensive outpatient group, and I was in pursuit of like total abstinence for a while. I wanted to establish my baseline and just find peace and complete sobriety, right? Like, I wasn't even drinking coffee. I was putting no external inputs at all. Yeah. For a period of time. And that was very intentional, right? Cause like, I knew I needed to find a way to be happy without anything. Once that ended, I really got curious with the whole market of functional or non-alcoholic beverages that had emerged, like, especially over the last 5 years. I know you've seen like the CBD beverages pop up. There's a lot of adaptogenic drinks or nootropic drinks, things like that. And, you know, I started to try them all out, like every one of them. I went onto the market. I live in LA, so there's an entire aisle of them at the grocery store. It's like a huge thing here. And to your point, a lot of them made claims of being mood boosting or relaxing, like these kind of functional claims. But I found pretty quickly that that was just a lot of marketing jargon for the most part. It was, you know, these drinks were expensive cans of glorified water for the most part. There's something to be said for the placebo effect, right? Because if something says it's relaxing, you might feel a little bit relaxing. So I was getting a little bit of that, but I did see through it. And ultimately, I was like, man, there's a gap in this market here, because there's a whole like movement of sober curious or California sober people, right, who are reaching for these products and kind of feeling let down the way I was. So it was soon after that, I was on vacation with my wife down in Mexico. And I stumbled into a kava bar, which was serving really two plant ingredients, which is kava root, which is the root of a pepper shrub that's native to the island nations of Fiji and Vanuatu and Hawaii, and then kratom leaf. Some people call it kratom, which is an evergreen tree, the leaves of an evergreen tree native to Southeast Asia, that's traditionally brewed into a tea, or sometimes the leaves are chewed. So this kava bar was serving mixtures of those two plants in coconut shells, and I tried them together for the first time, and I felt the, you know, the whole set of effects that I described with New Brew, right? I felt really open-hearted, like a little bit of mild euphoria. I felt connected to myself and the people around me. I was like social and talkative, yet not inebriated at all, right? Like, I wasn't impaired. I went and got a workout in after. I wasn't hungover. I didn't really feel any negative side effects from it. So that, you know, having tried all these beverages, that kind of clicked for me. Like, I think this is, at least for me, like maybe the answer. And I brought the plants home and realized they had never really found their way into a ready to drink beverage that would fit into this market. And that's where the light bulb went off. And I started making my exit plan from Google, figuring out like, how can I create this myself? And, you know, that's the way that this is differentiated from the market, right? I think the whole beverage, the functional beverage market, at least on the non-alcoholic side, has developed in response to this movement away from alcohol, but it's sort of misunderstood the demand in a lot of ways. Like, the demand is not necessarily for total abstinence or sobriety. It is for select people, right? But for most people, I think It's a demand for better, more functional ingredients that don't destroy your life or destroy your body, right? Alcohol just happens to be the one substance that's most readily available, the most normalized in our society. It's served with every meal. Everyone grows up with parents who are drinking it, right? It's weird if you don't use it.
Yeah.
Like, you become like a social pariah if you choose not to use it. And it has this sort of stranglehold over this ceremony that we all partake in, right? The ceremony of drinking, which is a core social ritual in the human experience. And it makes no sense that alcohol would be the only thing available to people in that ceremony. So that's the driving force behind New Brew, is to just give people another option. It's not necessarily right for everyone, but it's turning out that a lot of people are finding a lot of use for it.
Yeah. And I like what you said about when you don't drink, like, you become a pariah, right? Like, you get socially ostracized to a point. And hearing people say, like, alcohol is the only drug you have to justify not taking is so true.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't drink. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
yeah.
What do you mean, what's wrong with me? I just don't drink. Is that okay? Like,
totally.
I can't drink.
And that's reinforced by the media. It's, but through the whole experience of living in our world, right? Through marketing, everything, it is weird to not consume this drug, which is so strange and backwards. And I think a lot of the reactions that you get from people when you tell them, like, no, I'm not drinking, or no, I don't drink, there's a lot of discomfort, right? Because you're kind of holding a mirror up to them. At the end of the day, it's about them. And they're like, wait, you're not drinking. And all of a sudden, they start to have to think about the way that they're drinking. And like, damn, I wish I didn't drink. Like, maybe there's some part of me that's not totally proud of, like, the way I consume this, or knows deep down that it's not good for me. So you're igniting this whole mental process for people without even realizing it, just through your own decisions and making them clear, which is strange. But I spent like 4 years vegan, eating vegan, like, I don't know, like 4 years ago. And I got the same reactions from people when I told them, like, no, I'm not going to eat this meat. They would get like pissed off at me, right? They're like, wait, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, why do you care about what I'm eating? The same thing. Like, they just all of a sudden feel weird about what they're eating. So, yeah, you know, you kind of get used to it and get over it after a little while of being the non-alcohol drinker.
And I like to tell people, you know, it does get lonely being the mirror for society, because exactly like you said, that's what we are doing without realizing that's what we're doing. So having people tell you that that's where it's coming from, it makes it easier to have those reactions, and you could just say, listen, before you say anything, I don't care. This is just my decision.
Yeah.
And then that leaves it at that, right?
Absolutely.
But it is,
yeah,
it is something that's like shocking at first, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, for sure. In like the first few months, especially, I remember it being a big surprise to me. But you know, again, like you get comfortable being in that role, and like, I don't know, for me at least, like I almost have fun getting those reactions from people and just keep it lighthearted. And like, you know, if anyone really does feel, you know, if I get the sense that a friend of mine actually does have like an issue with their drinking, then I just make it clear to them that I'm here to chat about it if they want to. That's been another really cool thing with New Brew and being more public as someone who's not drinking alcohol, is I've been lucky enough to become a resource for the people around me, because I'm so like loud and clear about the fact that I'm not drinking. I've had folks who are just in my network kind of gravitate towards me and get support from me, and figure out, like, you know, maybe they want to find a way to live a healthier life. And I have a few tips that I can give them to start that journey of their own.
And that is like the becoming the accidental leader, right? And really, you're just doing it because you're living your life. It's like, it is something that's really cool that, you know, I've been able to experience a few times. People, friends calling me, hey, I'm going through this thing with alcohol, before I even started the podcast. And it's like, yeah, I understand. I was there too. Like, you've been drinking with me. You saw me. Like,
yeah,
I went through that. Right. So,
yeah. Oh man,
it's,
I think you were like me, right? Like, where you were, you just, like, I'm very loud about not drinking. I was a very loud drinker. Like, anyone who had spent one night out with me was like, holy shit. this guy gets after it in a way that maybe isn't normal. So there's a stark contrast for people who knew me a few years ago till now that I think people are still getting used to who know me.
Absolutely. And that's still continued and been a little bit of a theme through my life. Like, it's just always evolving. And when you can accept that you're always evolving, you can find the fun in those evolutions, right? And then acceptance of where you're at right now.
Totally.
One thing I wanted to circle back with too is like talking about the kratom. I can't remember the correct pronunciation.
You can't really say it wrong. It's it's technically kratom.
Kratom.
That's how it's said in Southeast Asia. I'm still probably getting it wrong, but it's closer to that. And of course, we've Americanized it into kratom, the most American pronunciation possible. So I say kratom, which is sort of an in-between.
So before you and I talked, I'd never heard of this. And then one thing that's really cool is on your website, you break things down and like give history and the effects and everything. And you made sure you told me, like, before you try this, please go on and get the information so you're making an informed decision. And since I've like read that, I've seen like stuff about kratom all over the place. I see it on like vaping bars and stuff like this. We have kratom. It's like, you know, what is it about kratom that like is starting to really pick up and get used, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I think it's still pretty new to the U.S. This is a plant that's been consumed for hundreds or even thousands of years in, you know, Thailand and Indonesia and Vietnam, Malaysia. The U.S., I think it was first brought over by Vietnam veterans, and it kind of found its way into the market in the late 90s or early 2000s. And it's really only in the last like several years that it's become something that anybody knows about, right? For the most part, been stuck in the smoke shop environment and sold in these kind of like seedier settings, right? Next to like bongs and Bob Marley posters and stuff. And even like bath salts and crazy shit like that, or synthetic marijuana. So it's gained a little bit of a negative or unwarranted reputation as one of those products, when the reality is it's a plant, right? That just found its way into this obscure environment in our society. I think that it's picking up steam in the US for the same reason that I'm accessing it, right? It's a tool that people are using as a harm reduction tool, right? To get away from more harmful substances like alcohol or even, you know, Oxycontin or opioids like that, because it does have a psychoactive property. So it does replace the effects of those, but it's something that you can use generally without like harming your system. Yeah, I think it's in the potency that's why it's like gained in popularity so much in recent history here in the U.S. But it's interesting that now that you've heard of it, you're seeing it everywhere, right? There's, some of that is just like a psychological process, but also maybe the algorithm is targeting you now. Here's you talking about it. It's serving you kratom ads.
And yeah, I've had people like bring up stuff about it, like in conversation, that's just been like, where's this? Somebody told me about a kratom bar, and they're popping up in Denver, stuff like that. And then I was driving home, and there's a smoke shop, and I've seen that LED, that sign that goes through, and all of a sudden, big letters, we have kratom. And I'm like, well, that's new, because that message was not on there. Like, interesting. So I'm just starting to see it more and more, kind of like, you know, you don't see too many of the red cars. You buy a red car, now you see the red car everywhere. Like you're saying, with the psychological properties.
Yes, exactly. And it's, you know, the kratom industry, if you can call it that, it's starting to transform a little bit with products like ours with New Brew. Like I said, you know, the plant had really found its way into like shots and capsules that are super high potency, that are like really high concentrated, and sold in those smoke shop environments. And they're kind of catered towards people who are like trying to get high, right? Like people who are really, really trying to feel something. Whereas now there's products like ours that are more true to the traditional use case in Southeast Asia at like a very low serving size. It acts as this like very mild stimulant and provides a little bit of like mild euphoria as well. The kratom tree is scientifically in the coffee family. It's like a close cousin of the coffee plant, right? So it does have like a similar mild stimulant property that you would get from a caffeine, except for it also happens to make you feel good. But yeah, you know, a lot of what kratom is known for in the US is those high dose sort of preparations that, you know, a lot of folks will use to get off of opioids, right? Like if you are trying to get off of something like, you know, Oxycontin or Vicodin, you do want something that's a higher serving size. I would say that it's sort of unfairly been pigeonholed into that space because there is this whole other like low serving size use case that we're after here. So there's so many different ways to use it because at different serving sizes, it has a very different effect.
Yeah. And I think that's the important thing to really point out when it comes to you're looking into this is, you know, just like anything else, you can abuse caffeine. You can abuse so many different things. Like when you take it to, really, depending on what you're doing, like have that comfort and it gets in the way of things. But
yeah,
and that's what every time you describe it, like I'm always like, that sounds a lot like coffee. And then you're like, right after I'm thinking that, you're like, oh, it's a close cousin of the coffee family. Okay, that makes sense. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The difference with the energy it gives you is it's more of a calm energy. You mm-hmm. don't get the jittery feeling that you get when you drink a bunch of coffee. It's more mellow than that. It's kind of hard to explain to people who haven't experimented with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point, it's, you know, and that this is the reason that I wanted to have like an initial call with you before I even came on the podcast. You know, it can be abused, like with anything else that feels good or that really works. You know, people can build an unhealthy relationship with it. I think, you know, compared with alcohol, having like a habit with kratom is, it's not going to like harm your body the way that, you know, being an alcoholic would or drinking every day, but still like you can build an over-reliance on it and have that kind of like crutch type relationship with it. So for me, as someone who's dealt with alcohol abuse disorder, I'm very careful to be mindful with my use of kratom or with kava, anything that's like mind altering at all. I want to keep it in that space where it's a tool that I can access and not have it cross that line into being a crutch, like something that I feel I need every day, or like I can't get through my day or perform the tasks I need to without it. And that's true of coffee. It's true of anything, any tool that I access in my life.
It's true of cookies for me, right?
And oh,
like,
yeah,
I'm not
sugar.
Making light. Yeah, like I'm not making yeah. light. Like that is true that we can take things and put it into different areas. And if you, that is something that I want people to take away is being mindful and aware of how it's affecting you. And if you try something and you're like, I'm not a big fan of how, what it's doing to me and how I'm feeling on it, that's great information to know so that you can say, this just isn't for me. I'm going to move in a different direction.
Yeah. It's all about being honest with yourself too, right?
Mm.
I think, you know, we have a tendency to put things like alcohol on a pedestal. I know I used to. And when I was looking to quit drinking, I was so hyper focused on the alcohol itself, like on the actual beverages, right? When the reality yeah. was this, the way I was using it was about my relationship to alcohol and like my intent behind using it. And it took me a while to uncover that and to start going a level deeper and think about why it was that I had built this relationship with alcohol, which started at such a young age. Like I was like 12 years old when I started drinking pretty heavily. So it was even that much harder to go back and figure out why I was doing that at that age, right? It had been almost 2 decades. But, you know, I came to understand that I was using alcohol as a way of numbing myself. Like I was trying to run from something. I was trying to avoid a set of really uncomfortable feelings. So it was that relationship to alcohol, you know, that was a symptom of a much deeper issue, right? It wasn't about the alcohol itself. So that's, you know, that's one of the first things I tell friends who are struggling with their use of alcohol, right? It's like, well, just let's talk about why it is that you are reaching for this. Because alcohol is such a powerful numbing tool, right? Maybe the best one, the most effective one. Like 10 times out of 10, when you drink, you're going to have an easy time avoiding the deep sadness that you're feeling, the really dark memory that you have about something with a loved one, you know, whatever it might be, it will disconnect you and give you a brief period of time where you don't have to feel that. You don't have to think about that. Unfortunately, after that period of time is over, you're going to feel like shit and you're going to be thinking about that thing even more. And you get trapped in a cycle. So that's a cycle I was in for, almost 2 decades. And it was a really difficult one to break.
And the way that you just explained that experience too is so beautiful, because that's, you know, when I'm coaching people through developing a healthier relationship with alcohol, whether that's not drinking at all or once a year at like a celebration, whatever it is to whoever, that's where we focus, is it's not the substance. Like, yes, it does have a chemical effect on you, but what's underneath it. And in my own journey, like it was 6-7 years after I stopped drinking that I finally took a look at underneath the hood. What was I really looking for? Like acceptance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was that because I couldn't accept myself? Yeah, that is why, that is the truth. But that disconnection, I can't accept myself, even though I was more accepted by the people around me, or at least I perceived I was when I was drinking. I couldn't accept that acceptance because I still couldn't accept myself. So that loop, that happened. And when I stopped drinking, you know, I thought all my problems were going to be everything's fixed. I stopped drinking. What it really did was highlight that disconnect, that I can't accept myself. And then I just couldn't understand why I was still in this cycle that I've worked through. It doesn't mean that it's completely over, but what it means is I can now recognize when it's coming up. And absolutely, that's such a beautiful thing that you can bring to your life.
Yeah. I was, by the way, when I quit drinking, I was hoping for the same thing. Like, all right, this is all just going to go away. Right. Mm-hmm. The reality is you're just, you know, I don't want this to sound daunting to anyone who's trying to quit drinking, but that's just the beginning of a whole new path. Right. And for me, I'm 2.5 years without alcohol in my life. I'm still really grappling with a lot of those deeper issues. But the difference is now I have a real chance of doing so. Before, I was just numbing and running. And I was like always fighting from behind, right? There was, I could never really catch up to life and have the clarity to like truly look inward and be honest with myself. And it took a while, maybe a year after I quit drinking, where I could finally like sit down and be honest with myself about the issues. And now I'm dealing with them. And that's a whole long road in itself. You know, I think everybody deals with those issues, whether you have an issue with alcohol or not, or any other substance, right? It's part of the human experience. But it's important that you afford yourself the space to actually engage with those feelings. And to, to, you know, be honest with yourself and hopefully with people around you about them. That's where the healing really begins.
It is. And you saying that too, like, you know, I stopped drinking. Well, I put a shit ton of my life into work. Why? So I didn't actually have to engage with myself. And you see a lot of people, they're putting everything into work. Like, when I have this much money, when I have this position, when, you know, that's going to be the answer. And another thing that is a little bit deeper, and this is going to piss a lot of people off, and okay, but if it pisses you off, that means that something is true about it inside of yourself. So take a look at that. Mm-hmm. Anxiety. We can hold on to our anxieties and keep that as like building, if I can just make this better, right? If I can just make this safer, or I can't do anything about it, so I'm just going, why try? Like, mm-hmm. the way that we have attached ourselves to our anxieties if you don't work through those and you don't actually find the underneath, they're never going to go away. And they're just going to interfere with your life. And it's a very similar process when it comes to looking at how you drink alcohol, looking at how you're showing up for yourself, like working through all of this other stuff that is really overlooked. And once you start to really allow yourself to feel things without guilt and, oh, there's an understanding underneath where this is coming from. Of course I feel that way. Like, you're going to feel anxiety going through life. Do you have to attach yourself to that anxiety?
Yeah. The feelings are going to be there, right? Mm. It's how you relate to them. Like, can you accept them and like look at them with objectivity, some level of objectivity, and not try to fix them or solve them, but just like observe them, right? And then engage with them. Think about why they came up in the first place. Like, if they make you uncomfortable, why is it that they make you uncomfortable? There's all this whole like line of like questioning and introspection that for me at least was completely impossible when I was drinking the way I was for so many years. And in my attempt to like solve the problem, and before I successfully did so, my solutions were like, okay, I'm going to quit hard liquor. I had like a 2-year period where I was like, I'm off the hard liquor.
Yeah.
I just drink beer and wine. Everything's going to be good. I probably won't black out anymore. You know, this will solve like the real issues that I have with alcohol, which is such a self-delusion, right? I just went from drinking like 4 beers to drinking 12 beers in the course of a year and was doing the exact same thing. Once that didn't work, I was like, I learned about this, I think through a doctor I was seeing, a medication called naltrexone, which take daily. I'm sure you're familiar. Yeah. And it basically mutes the positive feedback response you get from alcohol. So after you have one drink, the second one just doesn't feel that good and you kind of feel a little sick almost. So I was taking that and, you know, I would just sort of take a half of it sometimes if I wanted to have a fun night. And then I would take a couple of days off of it and like lie to myself about it, forget about that. All of these sort of like half measures, because I was desperately clinging to my freedom to continue drinking, because I found such like safety and comfort in doing so from such a young age. I mean, I think I mentioned this to you on our first call, but what was really transformational for me was psychedelic therapy. I had been in, you know, pretty standard weekly therapy for many years, even alcohol or substance specific therapy. And I was on antidepressants. I was kind of like using the tools that are generally provided to you by the American healthcare system. And after like a decade plus of, you know, making almost no real progress, I sought out those sort of alternative therapies, which for me started with ketamine assisted therapy. And, you know, again, it's just like with New Brew, I'm not saying this is right for everyone, but for me, it was incredibly powerful. That medicine, and later on medicines like ayahuasca and psilocybin that I accessed, helped me. They helped kind of shake the snow globe, is what they say, right? Like, your mind is so used to going down these specific paths, like these slopes, right? And they're so deeply ingrained that that's just where you go. And then when you shake the snow globe, all of a sudden there's fresh powder everywhere and you realize you can go any which way you want. And that's what happened to me with those medicines, is I was able to build new neural pathways and like view my relationship to alcohol totally differently, my relationship to myself. I was able to see very clearly the pain that I was causing with my drinking, not just to myself, but to my wife, to the people around me, like things that were probably really obvious to the people around me for quite some time, but I just couldn't see for whatever reason. They started to become more clear. And I think, you know, the ketamine therapy I was doing, that was before I quit drinking. And I think that was like a major step in the direction where I was finally able to like accept I had to leave alcohol behind, which is, you know, frankly, something I never thought I'd be able to do. I really never thought I would.
And I have a friend who's done ketamine and then is going to do another round of that therapy. And when you do it with the medical setting, and, you know, you mentioned that, but like emphasizing the medical nature around it, there is proof of exactly what you're talking about, where it gets you through that stagnant period. Just like naltrexone, why is, like, in some circles there's a stigma attached to that. Why can't it be a tool? Just like you're talking about NuBrew, just like, you know, all of this. If it's a tool, why don't we use it? And just like using the awareness and that mindfulness that I was talking about, if you use it and afterwards you're like, I don't feel right with this, like it didn't work for me, okay, now you know. But if it's a resource and a tool, why are we just pushing it away and saying, no, I'm going to do something that is way more of a struggle that continues the cycle of not working. And I'm going to make it feel like this is the way that I have to do it. And that's why I started the show with, there's only one right way to stop drinking alcohol. I say sobriety because, like, that's the word that everybody knows. But honestly, use the words that work for you when it comes to alcohol. And there is only one right way. Like, I stopped because I'm a stubborn asshole. I stopped because I made the decision and that was it.
Yeah.
99.9% of people cannot stop drinking alcohol that way. But I stopped and I didn't look into anything else, right? So my journey to get here is unique, just like your journey to get there is unique, just like everybody else's journey is unique. So don't push any resources away. Don't look at things and be like, I can't use that because somebody else told me I can't. Well, why did they tell you? Is it because they can't? So they don't want anybody else to? Is that what we're looking at here? Or is it their definition of sobriety is different from your definition? And so
absolutely.
For a while, I didn't drink NA beer because I allowed other people's definition of sobriety to impact how I wanted to go through life and what my relationship with any alcohol. And then you learn, oh, they say less than 0.5% because that's less than most fruits. A ripe banana has more alcohol in it than a non-alcoholic beer, than anything with less than 0.5%. So please tell me how you think that alcohol in there is actually affecting you. And then I started to realize, oh, it's actually the flavor of the drink. Like a really good NAIPA, man, give me that with a good meal and I love it. It's the flavor. Yeah. It's nothing else. Like, yeah, it tastes like a beer. Great. But I like that flavor that's there. So would it matter if it's a beer, if it was called something like hop juice? Would that really matter too much? No, like that is what it is. So when you look at things in that perspective, defining things for yourself and living in your own way, that's really what being authentic and aligned with yourself, that's really what people are saying. Follow that and see where it goes.
Totally. Really well said, man. I think you got to get curious. You got to start experimenting, try things for yourself. Some of the resources that you might seek in trying to move away from alcohol might try to like steer you away from certain things or put you into a box or, you know, base everything on what worked for them. But like you said, it's not a one size fits all by any means. You know, the work that I did with psychedelics, I think at the same time I was going to AA, I don't anymore, but I was for a while. I wasn't allowed to talk about that kind of stuff in AA. That room was more of a, I guess, a puritanical approach to sobriety. Like you cannot be accessing things like psychedelics to get sober. That's anti-sobriety in their mind, right? Meanwhile, that's what got me sober largely. And it's true for a lot of people. And it's for other people, maybe those experiences would be really triggering and not helpful, but you won't know until you try. I think, that's why it's the best advice you can give people is to just be honest with yourself, get curious, like educate yourself, and make the decisions that feel right to you. Don't let other people like push you down any particular path.
And, you know, those two words that you said with curiosity and experimenting, like when you take those two things and you start to implement them into your life, it's amazing how you start to take these walls that were there for certain things and start tearing them down. And it's like, well, why don't I do yoga? Well, You know, mm-hmm. I was a blue collar worker. I was worried how the guys were going to talk about me. Well, who gives a fuck if I feel great, right? Like, if I'm in great shape, who cares what they say? I'll kick their ass. Like,
yoga is the shit, man.
Oh, it's, man, it really is.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the one other, like, main piece of advice that I give to anyone who's looking to, like, better themselves, or especially move away from something like alcohol, is exercise, getting your body in order. Mm. To me, I mean, this almost, like, borders on unhealthy the way I did this, but I feel like I almost transferred my addiction or reliance on alcohol into an addiction to working out. I was someone who would work out here and there for most of my life. And once I quit drinking, I became an every single fucking day exercise person. And when I don't get to work out for like 2 days in a row, I go absolutely crazy, like an addict would. That's an addiction that I can live with, right? And it's one that, like, I can control. There's so many times where I feel like my emotions or my mind state is a little bit out of reach. Like, I have a hard time keeping control of that, but I can pretty much always get myself to exercise, and mood follows action, right? Like, if I can put those actions into motion, my mood will follow. So it's something I can control, and I can access, like, anywhere I am. If I just have a little bit of space, I can do push-ups or whatever it might be. It's always there for me. So yeah, just wanted to add that in. It's the first line of defense for me.
Yeah. And I like how you said that. And one thing that I like to tell people is, you know, you have these things that are important for your mental health that help you to feel stable, right? Grounded, whatever words you want to use. And when you notice yourself not doing those, okay, what is the reason that you're not doing it? Is it because you're looking at something else that, like, you're just, you don't want to do that challenging thing, or, you know, what is underneath? And then are you feeling better off of it? So, like, working out is something that I picked up doing too. And it's like, yeah, if I don't work out for a bunch of days in a row, I start to feel really shitty and down and, like, not as good overall. And so if I'm chasing that mood being higher, well, what's wrong with that? Like, how much of my life is going to this? And then, you know, something else, I got two young kids who are four and six. He just turned six, so I'm still working on that, but they're 60 and 50 pounds. They're huge, and they still like to be picked up at the same time. If I don't work out, I am not picking those two children up. And
you're already working out every day if you're doing that.
Oh my goodness.
Your life is a workout.
It can be. Imagine. It can be. So just having that mindset, and you bringing that up about, you know, moving your body, and when you're using alcohol and you're numbing, you're really ignoring your body. And so when you start to reconnect with it, it goes a long way. And that doesn't mean that you have to lose a bunch of weight or look for this body image. What it means is get used to what your body's telling you. And then, okay, what can I do to either continue to follow this, to maybe get healthier, whatever that means to you, whatever that looks like. And then you start to make different decisions too. Like, you know, sometimes sugar, okay, cutting back a little bit. That doesn't mean you don't ever have sugar. It just means I'm not going to have a whole box of cookies at night, every single night. Like, every once in a while, when I'm in a down mood, I will have a box of cookies at night. But I'm working out so that I can have a little bit of health. And then I'm like, I don't want to have that box of cookies for another month or two or three. And it just gets further and further.
For me, like, when I'm taking really good care of my body through exercise, I end up not wanting to eat a whole box of cookies, right? Because I have I'm putting so much, like, effort into something in my body that I'm more protective of it, right? Like, I want to put more care into it in the way that I eat, like, through my diet. So it's all connected, right? There's this whole mind, body, spiritual connection. And if you can, like, get control of any part of that, the rest kind of falls into place a lot easier. And yeah, at least for me, that's the physical aspect, like the exercise.
Yeah, same. And that's what I've noticed too. It's like, I did all this work to get my mind right. And then I was like, my body doesn't feel right. I need to do something to get this body to match my mind. And then with that, there was that soul, that spiritual, that other connection, that it's like this whole circle. And that, again, looks like how it looks like to you. It's unique to everybody. It doesn't matter what it looks like, but when you start to have that full circle of being human, you find that fulfillment. You find that I hate saying this because it makes people turn off, but you find that inner peace. You find that I'm acting how I want to act with my values. I will be in a situation that, like, my emotions are running high, and I will still act how I want to act. And the next day I'll look back on that and I'll be like, I wish that would have worked out different, but I'm glad that I showed up the way that I showed up. That's what we're chasing, and we don't even realize it.
Yeah. Well said, man.
I appreciate it. I kind of got a little bit soapboxy there, but
I love it, man. I'm all here for it.
So, you know, with New Brew and really getting into this space of alternative beverages to alcohol, what is something that you've seen really people be able to pick it up and enjoy it with? Like, is there something that you notice people like on the weekends out with friends? Is it like, you know, being able to enjoy it with a dinner? Is there some kind of a setting where you see people tend to gravitate towards it?
Yeah. I think that there's really two use cases for New Brew. Like, the one that we've been focused on is as an alcohol alternative. And I'm biased, but I do think it's the best one out there. You know, if you're someone who gets like a good bit of social anxiety heading into like a hang with a bunch of friends, or if you're showing up to like a big party, especially, I know for me, I get a good deal of anxiety going into that. Having a New Brew can like help ease some of that and let you settle into yourself. Again, it's not a disconnector, right? You don't get like numbed out the way you would with alcohol or even with something like cannabis. You're, if anything, more connected to yourself. But you're very, again, like open-hearted and a little bit disinhibited, even like the way that you would be with alcohol, just in a less sloppy way. So for me, like having a New Brew before heading out to some function like that is super helpful. And I don't feel like I need to have like three or four cans, but I have one and then I'm good with just having soda water or maybe an NA beer, like you were saying, for the rest of the night. So that's one use case, right? The second is as a productivity tool. New Brew is also a great alternative to coffee. Like we were talking about, Kratom is in the coffee family. Instead of reaching for like a 3 p.m. coffee when you're out of natural energy, you know, you can have a New Brew and it puts you into this sort of flow state with this sense of calm energy where you're not super jittery and fired up, right? You're actually really relaxed, but you're dialed in. For me, like when I have the 10 emails at the end of the day that I've been ignoring all day, right? They've been staring back at me and I've been answering all the low hanging fruit. I'll have a New Brew and I'll like enjoy answering those really difficult emails all of a sudden. So that's the second use case, and you can use it either way. The key is to, again, just like, you know, be mindful about the way you use it. I'd say don't like drink it every day. If you, you know, really find a lot of use for it, I would say just still make sure you take days off, cycle on and off of it, as you would with anything else.
Yeah. And if, you know, I mentioned earlier about how on your website, you really have a great educational platform around, and we didn't even get to it, but the Kava leaf, which, and the, you know, the Kratom and things, the myths around it and how it's used in New Brew and everything like that. If people want to go check that out, what is the website that they can go check it out at?
Yeah, it's drinknewbrew.com, and New Brew is N-E-W-B-R-E-W. And there's that learn tab there, like you said, where there's a ton of information about the two plants, their cultural history, the science, the regulatory landscape of the plants. And I'd recommend anyone who's curious about this or thinking about maybe ordering it and trying it, definitely learn about it first. You know, like we were talking about earlier, get curious, right? Like really learn about what you're going to put into your body before you do so.
Yeah. And if people want to be able to pick it up and purchase it, how can they do that now?
Yeah. So we're in, I think, like 600 or 700 stores around the country. The retail presence is focused for now in Los Angeles and Austin, Texas. We're opening up Miami as our third market in the next couple months. But anyone in the country can order it on our website, drinknewbrew.com. We have a shop on there.
Awesome. Awesome. And if they want to follow on social media, how would they be able to be stay connected with you?
Yeah, at drinknewbrew on Instagram. We're going to get a TikTok going. I think we have one, but I, as a millennial, have no idea how to use TikTok. So we've been kind of late to that one, but I hear it's important. So we'll be getting on that soon too. But for now, Instagram is like our main social hub. You can check us out there.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying with TikTok. What is this? Like, just use it completely different from everybody else.
I can't do it personally. I know we have to for our business, but like, one social app is more than enough for me. I try to limit my time on Instagram. So the thought of having a whole nother one is just overwhelming.
I found for myself, like, I'll record these short videos, and if I like for Instagram, and then I just take it and put it on TikTok, and I'm like, oh, I see comments and stuff like that. But that's just a little bit
that's the way to do it.
Yeah, a little bit of a tip there that that I could give. So I appreciate you joining us today, Justin. This was an awesome conversation. And I guess I didn't say this, we insinuated it. I've drank New Brew. I got informed before, right? And I enjoy it. I use it just throughout the day. Like if I want, I'm looking for something, I'm done with like kind of like seltzer water. It has a different flavor. And so I'll drink a New Brew, and it's just, it's good. It tastes good. I specifically like the mango and the citrus flavor, but there's also berry. And, you know, for me, I didn't notice much of an effect in my mindset, which is fine, but it's still, it's a pleasant flavor that, that you can have. And it's just, it's that alternative like you're talking about. And that's really what you're looking for. So I just want to let people know, like, you know, I've also, you know, did the education. I'm like, yeah, I'll try this and we'll see how it is. And I tried it with the, if I have like noticed a lot of effects, maybe it's not going to be for me, but I still wanted to have this conversation so that, you know, we could put that information out there and educate people. So this was an amazing conversation and I appreciate it. So,
yeah, I had a lot of fun, man. Thank you so much again for having me on, and let's do it again at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. So thank you everyone for listening. Hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review. When you leave your 5-star review, let me know if you tried that New Brew so I can let Justin know and what your favorite flavor is. And, let's try to be better tomorrow than we were today, because if we don't make it, we tried. Have a great week, everybody.
That's right.